The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. But nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Greetings, America, from everywhere you are to hear the studio inside the Beltway, relieffactor.com studio. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Tuesday, August the 18th, in the year of the plague 2020, we lost 400 Americans yesterday. That number is low. We are at 170,000 dead. That's about one-eighth of the number we had been projected in the first Imperial College study, 2.2 million, as I recall. And leveling off is not the right term to use because we don't really have a good handle on the virus. But 400 dying to it, and we don't have the age demographic on that or the underlying comorbidity. I know they had the scramble yesterday at the University of North Carolina. That's a big, just a complete nightmare mess up by UNC. They really hadn't decided what their risk level was. Before you go back to college, the colleges should tell you we are going back to college. And if we have up to 200 cases, we're shutting down. I think they had 173 and they shut down at UNC Chapel Hill. They're shifting back to all remote instruction today following outbreaks last week. 135 cases in the past week, including 130 among students with multiple separate clusters. Positive test was 13.6. Now, college students are designed to get together, and so that's what college is. I'm not sure they should have sent them home. I think you might have wanted to wait to see how sick they get. Do you know, for example, how many sailors died on the Teddy Roosevelt total? Any of you, that's the aircraft carrier that had it? One. Now, it swept the ship. 4,500 relatively young, relatively healthy sailors, predominantly male, which is something of a risk factor. Some smokers, not many. And it swept the ship, and they had good doctors and good care, and they were on the alert for it. And one sailor tragically died. And some were in ICU, but only one died. So I don't know that I agree with this decision. I'm not an administrator. I don't know the liability risk. That's what I really can't comment on. And they've got the Australian lockdown has become a nightmare. This is a commentary from the Wall Street Journal this morning that it's destroying the economy. And they're beginning to have the same conversation that rages in every United States state. In Beirut, Lebanon faces a coronavirus surge in cases because of the explosion that killed 178 and sent thousands homeless to homes and sheltering in hotels. All told, the biggest question is when the vaccines are going to arrive. Moderna had good news. South Africa has begun some new trials. But then I just tweeted out a story from The Hill this morning, which is yesterday afternoon, actually, by Arthur C. Evans. You've got to get, even if we get a vaccine, are people going to take it? A poll released by CNN in early May found that 33% of respondents said they would not get a vaccine. And I know there are a few anti-vaxxers out there, a handful of anti-vaxxers, but what are you people, nuts? 1-800-520-1234. I would just like to know those of you who are not going to get a vaccine. Who are you? What's wrong with you? Of course you're going to get a vaccine. You owe it to everyone you love. Don't think about your worst enemy when you get it. Think about healthcare workers and older people in America, people that you love who have been in the hospital, people who've had chemo, people who are in chemo right now. You'll have to get the vaccine. I mean, they can't enforce it. They can't make you. The Hill story says you've got to remove physical and psychological barriers. You've got to establish incentives and consequences. That's possible. You might want to pay people to get vaccines. You got to prepare healthcare providers. Believe me, healthcare providers who are not open and not making enough money will be ready to give out the vaccine. It also recommends turning to experts and authority figures. No, repetition, repetition. I was talking to a radio guy last night. We have to hit this hard. Seven times. It's the Luntz rule. You have to repeat something seven times to actually have it heard by someone. That's why no one's listening to the DNC. The DNC is not going to move a thing. Not going to change a thing. They had Bernie Sanders, Michelle Obama, John Kasich last night. It's not going to change a thing. Tom Perez, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, cut number 25. He summed up the DNC for us yesterday. Cut number 25.
We've already approved the platform. The platform is a bold document. It's both inspirational and aspirational. The input from Senator Sanders and others was invaluable to putting that together. The vice president.
Yeah, that's all we need to hear. It's Bernie's document. Pastor Frederick Hayes III opened the DNC, I think, in sort of a prayer. Cut number 30.
I was a stranger, and you had the nerve to build a wall while at the same time you have in the harbor there in New York a Statue of Liberty saying, give me your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Jesus will say, America, if you don't get your act together, you may well go to hell. Why? Because inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, my sisters and brothers, you are also doing it unto me.
The DNC opened by warning people they're going to hell if they vote for Trump. Look, it's not subtle, but that's fine. Ed in Michigan. Ed, are you really not going to get the vaccine?
No, I'm not, and I'm not nuts.
I want to hear your explanation. Why not?
Because I'm a low risk factor. Most people
okay,
are low risk
you're,
factor.
You're nuts. Goodbye, Ed. Look, I don't want to be dismissive. You're not a low risk factor. You're low risk of dying factor, Ed. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on that. That's not a good explanation. Someone might have told me I have a allergic reaction. I might that, but I got a lot to get through here, so I'm not going to have someone tell me about low risk factor. You might have zero factor. You might be 25 years old. You will not die from it. You probably won't even get a headache. I know the national security advisor. I talked to him. He had it. I talked to him many times since he recovered, talked to him while he had it, talked to him early in the diagnosis. He never felt that bad. He had very low risk factor, in great shape. You saw him on Meet the Press this weekend, Face the Nation the previous weekend. He's from Central Casting, right? Robert O'Brien's one of the handsome guys in America, in great shape. And so the virus, and he had no comorbidities, he's the right age. Yeah, I know. I'm 64. I can run 13 miles. Well, run, term of art. I can slog 13 miles. I hope when I get it, but I'm still going to get a vaccine. I would prefer not to run the risk. Okay, let's go hear the highlights. Here's Michelle Obama from last night of the DNC.
So if you take one thing from my words tonight, it is this. If you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will if we don't make a change in this election.
All right, stop right there. So we're going to hell. Things will get worse. Let's go to Bernie. Cut number 33.
Let me take this opportunity to say a word to the millions of people who supported my campaign this year and in 2016. My friends, thank you for your trust, your support, and the love you showed Jane, me, and our family. Together, we have moved this country in a bold new direction.
Stop right there. We're going left. We're going to hell. We got to make a change. It's all fear, and it's boring. I only want to hear from two kinds of people this morning, 1-800-520-1234. Why aren't you going to get the vaccine? Are you nuts? Maybe you don't understand the science. Maybe you have a good reason. I'm open to hearing a good reason. You've got to get the vaccine. And then secondly, has anyone at all watched this? It's just the Republicans are taking notes. The Republicans shouldn't have a convention. They should just let Donald Trump talk for four nights. They should line up a set of interviewers for Donald Trump and make him sit there and do serial interviews with Donald Trump. Maybe a few with Mike Pence. Maybe one or two with Bill Barr. But honestly, last night, what a deadly combination of hot air and no audience reactions. Not a convention. It's a series of infomercials by people who don't know how to give a speech to a teleprompter. Stay right where you are, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
And if she asks you why, you can then tell her that I told you that I'm tired. Castles in the air, I've got a dream. I want the world to share in castle walls. Just lead me to despair.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. Looking forward to talking to Greg Gutfeld this morning. One of the reasons why, in his book, The Plus, he explains his bump music. Now, I just played one of my favorite bumps, and he gets bump music. All right, now, nobody in the show likes this except me. But as Greg explains in The Pulse, the bump music is for him because of his reaction to it. It's an endorphin pop. For him, the host, or one of the five, and the five circulate the bump music. He has to listen to a lot of, you know, if I had to listen to Dwayne's bump music, Perry Como, I really would not like it much. I want to thank everyone, Food for the Poor, hundreds, thousands of you are sending in $10, $25. Look, the need is limitless. It's infinite. We have starvation, famine in our hemisphere. And the pastor last night who told us we were all going to hell if we didn't vote for Joe Biden, that's nuts. God doesn't work that way. But he does take note of when you take care of the lost and the least. And this audience really has stepped up for Food for the Poor. The number you call is toll-free, of course, 855-359-HOPE. That's 855-359-4673. But a special word for grandparents out there. Last week, you know, I'm getting back to moving now that my three grandkids are gone. I had them for a week, including the 1-year-old who is like the dynamo rocket ship chasing around and lifting. And, you know, I love there is the only thing in life that isn't overrated is grandchildren. And so speaking directly to grandparents out there, during this pandemic in Latin America, the parents are out on the road looking for work, and the grandparents are sitting there with their grandchildren, not able to give them any food. One family said it's like dying a slow death. So I'm grateful for people like you, but can you do it again? If you gave us $37 to feed one kid for 6 months, Can you do it again? You can go to HughHewitt.com, hit the emergency food relief. Here is a grandmother in Guatemala who is grateful for the food from donors like you. And through an interpreter, she offered her thanks for your generosity. You'll never meet them, but here she is.
I would tell them to ask God to touch their heart, because I think that God is the one that gives us the hope and the will to accept everything. I want to make sure that you get the idea that you are the presence of Jesus here with us.
You really are. You're doing the Lord's work. 855-359-4673. 855-359-HOPE. Or hit the emergency relief banner at the top of HughHewitt.com. You can't give enough. You can't give often enough. Some of you have been intending to do so and haven't done it. The easiest thing is just go to HughHewitt.com and click on the emergency relief banner. I asked earlier for people who aren't going to get the vaccine and why. Justin in Johnson City, Tennessee. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm good, Hugh. Hope you're well.
I am. Why aren't you going to get it?
Well, if you can show me a viral vaccine that is more effective than a placebo, I'd be willing to take it.
But okay, that is actually rational. You're asking about efficacy, right? You're saying, I don't want to take something that doesn't work.
Precisely. So
you're persuadable.
Extra preservatives unnecessarily.
Yeah, you're persuadable. But, all right, that's fine. But, I'm going to run through a bunch of calls. Thank you, Justin. If you're persuadable, I'm okay with that. That'll be our job. If I'm not going to tell you to take something that isn't efficacious. Michelle in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Michelle, you got like 10 seconds. Why aren't you going to take it?
Hi. Well, I hope you don't call me names and hang up on me because I disagree with you, but I won't take
it. Stop, Michelle. I'm going to hang up on you because that's not what I asked you. Bye. Cameron in Washington. Why aren't you going to take it?
Yeah, I would say no, not at first, just because I don't know enough about it. And compared to other vaccines, you know, they're sometimes effective, sometimes not. And if
okay, look, that's rational. That's efficacious. Again, I've had two. Actually, I had Michelle who wanted to give me a lecture on how I run my show, which I always hang up on. Answer the question. I won't hang up on you. If I think you're giving me another answer, I'll tell you you're a nut. But if you tell me it's efficacy, I understand that. That's on the government and the vaccine maker to prove. When we come back, Warren Buffett and I, when we agree, you should listen. All right? Warren Buffett and I are doing the same thing. 1-800-520-1234, connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of
America. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I told you before the break, Warren Buffett and I, we got a lot in common. I've never been to Nebraska. There are four states I'd never been to. I've never been to Arkansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, or North Dakota. I've been to 46 other states. I've got to get down to Tom Cotton Land, but I'm waiting for the senator to invite me. And I've never been to Warren Buffett. I'm waiting for Nebraska to have football. And then maybe I'll go there. South Dakota, it's just never been on the where to anywhere, and I don't know how to get to North Dakota. Chuck Box allegedly has been to North Dakota, CJ. But Warren Buffett is the sage of whatever they call him. Yesterday, he announced he bought gold. Yesterday, I bought gold. I bought my gold from Birch Gold. And I bought a sizable chunk of it because I look at the amount of money that the world is just printing because of COVID. And I believe, let me check here the market, what the 10-year treasury. The 10-year treasury is up to 0.68%. Gold, I don't even know the price when I buy it. I just said send me X number of ounces. $2,013 today. And that's pretty high, right? I began to tell you to call Birch Gold and put a portion of your IRA or your 401k into a physical asset when gold was at $1,400. So it's at a high price right now. Gold usually goes up and down, up and down, up and down, but it never goes much below 1400, and it never goes much above 2000. So I'm buying at the historic high, and that's because I think we're in an unusual situation. I want to hedge against inflation, and I think Warren Buffett did the same thing. He bought a $565 million. That's not what I did, but we both bought gold yesterday. I tell you, if you're going to buy gold, go to Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com, H-U-G-H Gold.com. HughGold.com, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. I trust Birch. They get it done. You send them the money, they send you the gold, or you fill out the paperwork and roll over whatever portion of IRA you want in a physical gold or silver-backed IRA. Just have an inflation hedge in case this gets out of hand. Back to the bad old days of Jimmy Carter. I don't think that's going to happen, but boy, oh boy, eventually you can't have this kind of a deficit worldwide without an inflationary pressure. As you know, I'm only a mutual fund guy except for Amazon. Yesterday, a couple of analysts at, I think, Needham, called Amazon a $5,000 stock. So that's also an inflation hedge. Play a little bit. The Yahoo people over at Yahoo Finance were stunned by this and by this call, and they talked about Amazon $5,000. Here's that clip.
It's interesting because today we're talking about Needham's call on Amazon. They're saying that it could be worth $4,000 to $5,000 a share. This is from analyst Laura Martin. And Emily, this is interesting because it actually puts a number just on the value of Amazon Prime and Prime Video. That was the first thing that stuck out to me. And then also just the fact that it could benefit from this acceleration in consumer adoption because of COVID. And that's something we've been talking about when it comes to some of the other strictly just streaming plays as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Shauna. I think this focus on Amazon Prime Video was a really interesting just focal point for a note overall and for an investment thesis for a Wall Street firm. Because if we think about what a lot of analysts on the street have been focusing on for Amazon, it's been on that core e-commerce business. It's been on the growth in Amazon Web Service. So to really see a breakout here on the Prime Video aspect of it, definitely kind of an interesting hidden value multiplier, as Needham actually called the Prime Video service. So one of the things that they noted actually was that they estimate that Prime Video had revenue of about $3.57 billion in 2019. They expect it'll reach $4.1 billion in revenue in 2020, and that 20% of total Amazon Prime subscription revenue of $20.5 billion in 2020. So to put that in perspective here, they called out that $3.57 billion for 2019. That compares to $20.2 billion in annual revenue that we saw from Netflix, just to
Okay, are your eyes glazing over? Are your eyes glazing over? It goes on for 7 minutes because Needham saying that it could go to $5,000. Now, I told you that, a month ago. It's the only reason I buy Amazon. It's an inflation hedge there. But, I've never broken down segments. That's not what I told people. I don't give investment advice because if you want investment advice, hire someone who knows what they're talking about. Don't ask me. When Needham, which is a fine firm, says it could go up to $5,000 a share, it's like Warren Buffett buying gold yesterday. It gets my attention. And it's because they're valuing the Prime, that's their membership service, and their video segments at $200 billion and $400 billion. That would make it well in excess of a $2.5 trillion company. That is the lead into the story in the Wall Street Journal. Amazon bets on office-based work with expansion in major cities. Where is Amazon going tells me where America is going. Now, they're going to Arlington, Alexandria, Virginia, which is why the homeowner market here is just nuts in Northern Virginia. Crazy. Gordon Wood works with AndrewandTodd.com and biggest year of his life. Meanwhile, home sales are going up now after the virus. But Amazon is coming to Northern Virginia. Where else are they going? Where's the future? Well, they got driven out of New York by AOC, the crazy Democrats who are meeting virtually and boring the country to death. But they also picked Phoenix, San Diego, Denver, Detroit, and Dallas. Now, Amazon has made a mistake here not going to Ohio, but Phoenix, San Diego, Denver, Detroit, and Dallas. That's the future of the country. When you put an Amazon, it's going to be the biggest company in the world, and you put one of their, not headquarters, but one of their prime satellites. So they've got Seattle and Northern Virginia as the drivers of the biggest business in the world, and then Phoenix, San Diego, Detroit, and Dallas. Great news. Other great news, Asia chipmakers stock dive after Huawei death sentence. This is from the Financial Times this morning. Billions of dollars in market value lopped off of Asia's largest listed chip makers after the U.S. announced new sanctions on it. Now, back to my the Hill story, that people aren't going to take the vaccine. Why? Jim in San Antonio, Texas. Why aren't you going to take the vaccine when it gets here, Jim?
Hi. Probably, like, before efficacy, I spent 20-some years getting a shot every year for the flu in the military, and every year I got the flu. And once I retired from the military, I stopped getting the flu. I stopped taking shots. So I don't like putting anything in my system. I'm not afraid of COVID whatsoever, Hugh. I had 12 people in my office catch it this year. All of them.
All right, Jim, that's offline. I just want to know why you weren't taking it, and it's because your past experience with flu shots wasn't efficacious. Okay, fine. That's not actually logical thinking. The flu shot is never 100%, and they tell you that. We'll find out what the efficacy when it comes in. I get the flu shot every year because I like to lower my risk, but I've still gotten the flu. Dave in Michigan. Dave, what do you say?
Hello. Dr. Fauci has repeadedly said...
Dave, why aren't you getting the shot?
I'm not getting the shot because vaccines aren't tested against double-blind placebos. They're not subjected to the gold standard for making sure that they're safe. They're done. That's done.
All right. If we do one, Dave, that is subjected to a double-blind placebo and it's efficacious, will you take it? I'm stipulating that we will meet your standard of efficacy. Will you take it then?
If the people that I trust, like Robert,
no, that's not. You're not going to know these people, but if people come up and we've got enough studies, and Moderna has all this scientific research, and I come on the air and say it's good for you, it works, and I've got a PhD research toxicologist for a brother, right? I know about efficacy. He hammered, and I'll tell you it's efficacious. Will you take it?
You ever seen one?
I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. Will you take it if it's proven?
If it's proven by people that I trust.
Okay, thanks, Dave. That's a no. Linda Marley in Oregon. Go ahead, Linda.
Morning, Hugh. No, I will not take the vaccine because, especially if this virus came from a lab, well, I don't want a vaccine that will come from a lab, and I'm certainly not going to give it to my...
Okay, Linda Marie, all vaccines, have you had any vaccines at all? They all come from labs.
Yes, well, I don't know what's in it. I don't take flu shots, and I haven't had...
I know that,
years.
But Linda, have you ever had a polio vaccine?
No.
What? Everyone in America gets the polio vaccine. Did you go to school?
I'm 50. I never had a polio vaccine, no.
Did you go to school?
No.
You didn't go to school?
No. Home educated.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Linda. God bless you. I hope you don't get polio. I'm astonished. Polio, everybody in America lined up because they were scared to death. Stan in Cleveland, Ohio. What do you say, Stan?
I won't get the vaccine because I'm 73 years old and I have some other health issues. Also, though I did have childhood vaccines, I haven't had any kind of vaccine, not even during the 1968 or 1969 flu season.
All right. Well, Stan, if you've got some immunocompromisation, whatever that word is, I can understand that. Stay away from people. 73 with vulnerability is not a good place to be. Boyce in Palm Beach, Florida. Boyce, are you going to get it?
Absolutely not. Semi-retired physician. I worked with Médecins Sans Frontières, and I've never taken inoculation or vaccination anywhere, including Central Africa.
So why aren't you going to get this one?
I don't trust drug companies nor government.
Well, I know, but most physicians are going to get the vaccine. Would you not agree? 95%.
No.
Oh, come on. No. Okay, bye. That's not true. Boyce is not true. I don't even know if he's a physician. I can't trust that. I can't trust that. But I know that one thing is not true. Most physicians will get the vaccine. Most will. I think probably 95% will. Ron in Pennsylvania.
Hey, morning glory to you.
Morning glory to you. You're the last one. You got 30 seconds. Are you going to take it?
Okay, well, I'd like to talk about the extended question venture, too, but the flu shot.
Ron, I just want to know if you're going to take it.
I'm 54 years old.
But
I'm
are you, Ron? Ron, are you going to take it? Ron, are you going to take it?
No.
Why? Why?
I'll tell you why.
You're using up your 30 seconds, Ron. Why not?
Okay, I know. Well, let me talk. I'm 80% vegan. I don't.
All right, that's it. Bye. Honestly, people, listen to me. When I have no time, I can't let you go on a long life history. Coming up, my friend David Drucker, David M. Drucker. I'll bet you he had to watch the DNC. I'll bet you he had to. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. David M. Drucker with the Washington Examiner joins me. David, I just, prompted by Britt Hume, listed it, the 10 best reporters in the Beltway, included you. So I it's not an exclusive list. I just like people who do their job day in and day out. You're one of them. Did you do your job last night and watch every minute of the DNC? Because honestly, I can't. It's worse than paint drying.
I did my job, Hugh. I watched every minute of the convention.
What was the highlight?
To be honest, I had to write a story. So toward the end there, it was a little touch and go. Look, I think the highlight, I think that when you look at conventions, you have to look at what a candidate is setting out to do and what they need to do. And so I think what we'll see what the vice president does, the former vice president does each night. But last night was clearly about unity. And unity across several factions, right? I mean, unity across the Democratic Party, which isn't always the most tightly wound operation, but also the vice president's, attempt to reach out to disaffected Republicans who don't really dislike Trump on policy grounds, but on personal grounds, who are thinking of voting for Biden, not because of any policy, but just because they think he's a good guy. And they clearly went after that pitch. That's what I ended up writing about, is those real people videos. You know, as I was talking to Republicans last night, they said nobody really cares if you're a Republican voter what Meg Whitman thinks or Susan Molinari thinks, if you even know who she is, which we know who she is. And I don't mean that as a slight, but just, you know, she last gave a convention speech in 1996. But they said those real people videos are the kind of thing that could speak to the kind of voters that can help Biden win the election. So overall, you know, based on what it was, I think they did one thing right. They had an actor, Eva Longoria, actress, who knows how the medium of television works, hosting things. And I think that made it about as smooth as it could have been. But was it the most exciting thing I've ever seen? No. Do I want to go back to a normal convention? Yes. But
I love convention coverage. I have never not watched a convention. I barely saw this. I barely heard this because it's not a convention. I think if I were the Republicans, I would have Trump do interviews four nights in a row with 20 different people. That would be interesting. I honestly.
Well, that would just be like a regular day of the week.
It would be. But he's the best interview in America. And I must say, I don't know what the numbers are. I can't see any overnights. Did you see any overnights for how many people watched it?
No, look, I haven't seen any overnights. I think we're going to have to wait to see how the convention goes and then look at data and things like that. So I don't know. But, you know, Biden right now, if you look at all the data, is a candidate that is ahead and near 50%. I expect a very tight race down the stretch. But when you're a candidate that is ahead and near 50% and has had a sustained lead, you don't need to, you know, shake up the apple cart.
Oh, I agree. I don't think they need to put on fireworks.
Exactly what they did. You know, in some ways, paint drying isn't necessarily bad. I looked at the individual messaging, and look, they're trying to thread a needle, because the convention opens with a pan to America and American history and everything that makes America an amazing country. And then they also had to address all of America's ongoing flaws and address the Black Lives Matter movement and talk about racial injustice, right? And so there was a tapestry they were trying to weave last night, speaking to all these different groups and what they hope will be a Biden coalition. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. That's what they attempted to do. There were some obvious sharp elbows directed at Trump. That's what Democrats want to see, and that's frankly how you win an election, making a strong case that the other guys, you know, all messed up. And so we'll see what night two looks like.
You know, I'm getting at one thing only, which is it's not watchable television. Not whether it's good for Biden or bad for Biden. I don't think these things matter at all this year. I think the debates matter significantly, enormously. But I just don't think these matter because I don't think anybody's watching them.
All I would say to you is the way social media works and the way the news coverage works is if it was a messaging misfire, then it could have the potential to become a big story, you know, be a problem. So that's something to look out for.
Well, that's true. I mean, if they had made a catastrophic mistake, like the one thing I played was the pastor threatening us with hell. That was not a good look. And that makes great audience. You're going to hell if you don't vote for change. But, you know, there is no great takeaway. It will come down to Biden's speech, maybe Senator Harris's speech, the former vice president's speech. But unless and until we get, and at the end, the stuff you love, the balloon drop, all that good stuff, it just isn't there. And there's no music and there are no crazy hats and there aren't any crazy people. It's just, what a letdown, right?
Look, you know what I feel like saying for years, because I'm with you on conventions. For years, everybody's been saying they're a waste of time. Nothing happens there anymore. We don't even need them. And I just feel like saying, yeah, are you happy now?
Yeah, you got what you wanted, and I'm bummed. I'm really bummed. I've been doing it since 2000, and I really am bummed. David M. Drucker, follow him on Twitter. I'm coming right back, America. Stay tuned. Greg Gutfeld coming up later in the show. Lots ahead on this Tuesday edition of the Boring Democratic National Committee Convention. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.